We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. I don't even know what day it is anymore, guys, because the Wizards won tonight. 2-0 in this series over the Hawks. They take it 109-101. Thanks for joining us. This is our first outing on Dash. Gotta say that right off the top of the bat. We're in prime drive time here, so we're going to be on every Thursday, 5:30 to 6:30. So if you're in your car driving home, perfect time to listen to the show. And yeah, we got an hour block on there. Very excited to get started with the Almighty Baller Radio Network. Almightyballer.com is the website where you can find all our stuff. And whatever, you know, a lot of times we do go over an hour. You know, we like to chit-chat, probably get into some leftovers talk later. So, you know, if we get to the hour mark and, you know, if you're listening on Dash, I'll give you a hint. I'll be like, hey, go to almightyballer.com, check out the rest of the show in podcast form. And that's how we get it done around here. So excited to be at it. This is our first true post-game show. I'm amped. Gary Jones, how are you, sir? We cabbed it over from the phone booth.
Sure did.
Very exciting.
It was.
High-fived on 7th Street.
It was a great place to be tonight.
It really, as soon as I walked out on the street, it just reeked of weed, and it was awesome. Very DC. Those giggles. Dave. Playoff Dave, no less. How are you?
I'm pretty great. I just noticed that you guys are wearing the exact same clothes.
Oh, man.
Bottom to top, you guys both got black socks.
You jelly?
Khakis. Red t-shirt and buttons with each other's faces on them.
Do you want in on the button game, don't you?
Yeah. If you guys are wondering what I'm wearing, it's jeans and a green t-shirt. So I don't really fit in here. If these guys gang up on me, you'll know that's why.
Well, you don't fit in because you didn't join us for our surprise podcast last night.
Yeah, I had stuff to do. I had, I don't really want to get into it.
I think we should.
No. Just some other stuff I had to do. So, but I'm here now, and we beat the Hawks. We'll probably just keep beating the Hawks until the NBA won't let us beat them anymore, is what I think is going to happen.
That sounds about right. I think you said you got an email from Adam Silver before we started the show, like, here's what's going down.
Yeah, like, I don't know how much longer I can let this go on. Feels like if you guys beat him four times in a row, we're just going to force you to move on, which is in his purview, apparently. He can do that. So if we win the next two, I'm hearing, we'll just move on and play a different team.
Sounds fair to me.
It's like a mercy rule.
Yeah, exactly. You win four, and then they match you up with some other scrub team that we'll probably beat four times, too.
Okay. I like how this sounds. Hey, this sounds favorable to the Washington Wizards. We should also mention here, so this is our first like actual post-game pod. The Wizards play again on Saturday, 5:30. So I think the plan is we're going to hang out and drink beers and watch the game, and then we'll pod afterwards as well. If not, then it'll just be me doing that, but...
No, I got to tell you guys, my girlfriend is going to be out of town on Saturday, so... there's really no limit to the number of beers that we can drink. And then we could just pod for like 5-6 hours, I figure.
So not even just playoff Dave, it's bachelor playoff Dave. this is going to be dangerous.
It is dangerous. I've been a little worried.
I'll keep an eye on you.
That hasn't always worked out in the past.
No, but it hasn't.
When the guy supposed to keep an eye out you has a tendency to fall asleep, it's not as effective.
What? I fall asleep?
Just from time to time.
I haven't done that in a while. Maybe it's been like a couple weeks, but no matter. Let's get in this game, guys. Like I said, 109-101. They won. John and Brad kind of closed it out there. But kind of a slow game. The refs were infuriating. If we want to jaunt all the way back to the first half, I kind of felt like the first half and even into some of the third quarter was kind of like a college game. Like the Wizards were, they were keeping the Hawks kind of at arm's length, like a 6 to maybe like an 8 point lead somewhere in there. And every time the Hawks would respond, they would hit back. And, you know, it felt pretty comfortable for a while. You know, in college, a 6 to 8 point lead is, that's kind of a lot at times. So it felt that way, even though, you know, that's not a lot in the NBA.
Yeah, it was really frustrating. And I hate complaining about the refs. I think it's almost always dumb. Like, oh, we were getting screwed. The refs hate us. I don't think the refs hate anybody. But they weren't even making, like, bad calls. They were just making so goddamn many of them. Mm-hmm. That was why it seemed like a college game. And I think that really disproportionately hurt us because we couldn't get out and run. And our starters are so much better than their starters that all it really would have taken was a decent run where we turn them over a couple times, score on the other end, you're up 15, and that's pretty much it. The Hawks aren't going to, like, shoot their way back into the game. But could never really – I felt pretty comfortable the whole time that we were going to win, but we couldn't put them away. And that's why Wall had to play, like, 42 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it was.
Let's see here. No minutes. Oh, no. 39 minutes.
The two immediate fouls on Morris were brutal.
Yeah.
Because
then
he basically just didn't play the rest of the first half. Because as soon as he came back in with two fouls in the second, he picked up his third right away again, too.
And then when he came in with four fouls, his first three possessions, they went at the rim and he just went straight at him. He could have gotten called fouls on three straight plays. They finally got him on the third, and then he had to go back to the bench. He doesn't seem to have any discipline there. He's not going to, like, not play defense.
He's not going to sit back and play regular MMA when it's time for double MMA.
He keeps outdoing himself with these quotes, which I like.
Do you think what's next? Is it triple MMA or is it quadruple MMA?
It's probably like Muay Thai, no rules, like legit in Thailand style.
Triple X MMA?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he'll even have to, though, because I think Paul Millsap might just retire after tonight. He was moping and crying, and he was getting so many calls and still just...
He is such a whiner.
But I don't know. You guys were in the stadium, so you couldn't hear, but the broadcast picked it up really clearly. He just kept going,
It's a great Paul Millsap sound on our soundboard. By the way, we should have played this right off the top. Nobody beats me. That is apt for this evening.
Mm-hmm.
As sloppy and, you know, ugly as things were in that first half, I mean, it really, you said you weren't worried. I felt like, you know, I felt comfortable for about three quarters of that game. And then when the Hawks took the lead again, that was my concern, was that these fouls were piling up. They really didn't have, the Wizards don't have a whole lot of options coming off the bench, and that's where, you know, like you said, it's where it hurts them. The Hawks, I guess they have a slightly better bench. You know, he had to rely heavily on Jason Smith, who played well, but, I mean, that's tough. I mean, Markieff Morris is losing him so quickly and early, it was just brutal.
Yeah, good thing we got Brandon Jennings coming to our rescue.
Seriously.
Those three straight buckets were maybe the most improbable thing that's happened to the Wizards all season.
And he, when he dished it to Jason Smith on that big slam, he wanted to shoot it so bad. You know it hurt him inside to throw it off there.
I think we said it when he first came to the Wizards, and I remember in his first game, he maybe didn't shoot one time. He was just looking to pass, and after the game, Scott Brooks was like, yeah, I told him, I need you to be shooting more, to be more aggressive. And we were like, oh, that is a mistake. because once Brandon Jennings thinks he has a green light, he's gonna take it. But it worked out tonight.
Yeah, somewhere between the completely never shooting, and tonight is definitely where you want him. There's been some times where he's really frustrated me by not shooting, where it'll be like a really nicely executed play. Ball works around, several passes, hits him wide open in the corner or on the wing for three, and he still won't shoot. He'll pump fake and then pass it one more time when he has a wide open shot.
But at least once tonight, he came down and popped a pull-up three with like 5 seconds off the shot clock. That obviously didn't go in, but
he also had a forced a turnover in the first half on he just pestered Hardaway. Mm-hmm. Hardaway came across half court and Jennings was just nagging him for like a good 5 to 6 seconds. Got him to kind of lose the ball and then threw a wild pass, bounced off Howard's knees.
Yep.
And that got like one of the biggest cheers of the whole game, as it should have. Like pesky defense is a really fun thing to watch.
And Jennings is obviously, he's not a good defender. He's going to get abused a lot. But the difference between him and like a Trey Burke is that he's such a little pest like that, that he'll just get in there. And I mean, you can score on him pretty much whenever you want, but he will get out there and force some turnovers. So.
Yeah, definitely. I made a mental note. I was like, you know, a lot of times Brandon Jennings hasn't been like that much better than Trey Burke. I feel like he's more experienced. You know, he has some cachet there. So I think that's why everyone's more generally more comfortable with him. But when he did that, I was like, oh, Trey Burke would never do that.
Yeah. And I think it's just good for the kind of guys that they have out there with the second unit. Like the best you can hope for is you get a turnover from him or Oubre. You can find Jason Smith on one of those times where he is like the best leaper in the NBA. A couple times tonight, he jumped out of the building. He had no way, he had no like idea where he was going. The one time he jumped like away from the basket, kind of. But
I'll tell you when he did his best leaping ability, when Markieff Morris got a second and third foul, he leapt off the bench so quickly. He like, you know, dried his shoes off for like a good, like, minute 5 seconds at the scorer's table every time. Like, couldn't have been more excited.
He was just a split second late on just banging on, I think it was Millsap in the first half. He drove the baseline, but he kind of hesitated before he did it. And then he got fouled at the rim. If he had just gone immediately when he caught the ball, he pump faked and then like paused. If he went right away, that would have been akin to Gortat's dunk in the first game.
That'll be when Millsap taps out and he's like, I'm done playing basketball, is when every front court player on the Wizards dunks on him and then Jason Smith just puts the nail in his coffin.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason.
He deserves it. We didn't do any drops last night, Gary, so we gotta loosen it up a little bit here.
Yeah, I'm always for loose. You said you were varying degrees of like nervous throughout the game. I even when the Hawks took the lead at the end of the third, early fourth, nervous didn't really describe it, or like I wasn't worried about the win. I was more just like annoyed because it still seemed to me like the Wizards had been out playing them the whole game and still were, and then they were behind. It was just more like I was just ticked off that they weren't in the lead. Like, why aren't the Wizards winning? They're clearly playing better.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since the Wiz have gotten down, and I've been like, oh, they're not going to come back from this. But the way they've been, their attitude in the playoffs, with Gortat, I don't think we've seen this much attitude from Gortat ever. They're
attitude.
They're all just being so spicy out there. I love it.
Let's give Gortat some love too. He was getting buckets. I mean, whenever John Wall wanted him to get buckets,
right.
But like he was crucial down the stretch.
And he's just been beating the shit out of Dwight.
Yeah.
He dove on the floor for that rebound early on. John hit that fadeaway. That
5 blocks in the game. I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think he had back-to-back on Dwight in the first half.
We have always been the biggest Gortat fans on this podcast, I think.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, I was just going to say, I think a lot of Wizards fans use Gortat as the scapegoat. He has been, or he had been, pretty bad for the first basically since the All-Star break, he turned it on a little bit toward the end of the season. But he has always been such a reliable player, plays well in big games. People thought he couldn't match up with Dwight. I don't... He's just, like, out-muscled him, outplayed him in basically every way so far.
You can't spell scapegoat without goat.
That's science right here, and only science you'll get on Zardcast. Dwight had 6 points and 7 rebounds tonight.
How many minutes did he play? He didn't even play 20. Most of the fourth. Oh, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Damn.
Less than Mescalo and Bazemore coming off the bench.
That is pathetic.
That's what I was saying last night. He's like not even a factor.
Yeah. He
gets such hollow stats now. It was a rebound stats.
Yeah, he had 14 on Sunday, but by all accounts, they were pretty much just there for the take. He just happened to be like standing in the right place.
He was just the tallest person around when the ball came to that area.
I don't know what his deal is. I mean, he's been, I think you said it last night, Gary, he's been checked out for about 6 years now, but now more. I mean, he crushed Gortat in one of these games during the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, I don't watch a lot of Hawks, but I just kind of assumed that he would be a factor.
I think it's kind of contrary to like his general perception, but he's generally pretty good in the playoffs. Like, I think he was really good with the Rockets in the playoffs, averaging like, you know, 18 and 15 or something, but he's just done nothing. The only guy that has really done anything, Hardaway was okay tonight. Schroeder has been really good, but that's about it.
Yeah, he played pretty good defense on Wall as best he could. Him and Bazemore, they were kind of switching off. They played, you know, you can only do so much. I was really hoping that John would have a new playoff high. He scored 32 again tonight, 9 assists to go along with it.
If you guys want a little statistical tidbit,
titillate me, please.
So Wall hasn't qualified for the all-time leaderboard yet on Basketball Reference. You need to have played 25 playoff games. He's only played 22 now, but he, with 9.2 assists per game, his career playoff average, where do you think he ranks all time?
9.2?
Mm-hmm.
Sixth.
I'm going to say second.
Fourth.
Ooh.
Magic Johnson, John Stockton, Chris Paul, John Wall.
That's a list.
What's Paul at?
9.44.
So that could flip flop potentially in these playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
And now he's putting up 30 points. I mean, because that's when he's played really well in the playoffs in the past, he still hasn't shot well. he averaged like 13 assists a game last year in the playoffs, but didn't shoot very well. But if he's doing both now, I mean, this was what we were hoping, that he had another, you know, level in him for the playoffs, and
he's done it. Should we give him, should we play a song? Since we're giving him some historical love.
Ni Ha Washi John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John.
I was a little bit worried. I mean, he scored, I think he had 17 in the first half. And, I mean, that third quarter was just such a grind because of all the fouls. And, he played 39 minutes. I was saying to my buddy Tyler Good, who I went to the game with, like, Beal and Wall, they're going to need to take a seat for a couple of minutes somewhere in here. And, they both did park it on the bench for, you know, a couple of minutes. And they ultimately closed out the game. I mean, Brad was playing. He couldn't hit anything for the longest time. And then down the stretch, he was drilling. John was he was cooking from that elbow. He was driving the lane, getting fouled. I think he had an and one at one point. So
I love how he took 27 shots tonight. So 31 points on 27 shots isn't great, but we've never seen that aggressive Beal. I mean, he took 10 threes. He just kept launching, which is exactly what he needs to do. So, and he didn't play very well last game either. He still got 20 points, but Imagine if he and John have a good game at the same time and get on the same page more. And I think that'll come if we stop fouling so much and can get out and run.
For sure. And, I mean, Beals, I think he scored 10 in the fourth quarter in the last game. And, you know, you're right. If he just keeps shooting, like, it's not these, you know, these slumps for Beal, they don't tend to last an entire game. Like,
right.
When was the last time he had, like, a straight-up bad game? I mean, and then, you know, coming through in two big spots here in the fourth quarter, that's super encouraging as well. So, yeah, just put it all together, guys.
And that's the thing. Otto, I'm a little worried that he's banged up.
Ooh.
But let's see, Markeith had, he only had 3 points, played 20 minutes. The bench still hasn't quite figured out. I don't think Brooks has figured out the rotations yet, but there is still a lot of improvement to be had, which I think is encouraging.
Yeah, let's bring up Otto real quick. You think he's banged up?
Yeah, because every time he comes out, he goes over and rides that bike for a little bit. He's like wincing every time he falls down. I don't know if it's like a hip thing, but even at his like lower level of play, you know, if he's only shooting 38% from three instead of 46, he's still a great player. He's still a good rebounder. He's still going to score a lot. So if he can just get healthy, I think he needs to.
It'll be nice. 2 days off. While he didn't play great, he did have a couple clutch rebounds at the end to help him seal it up. So I'm glad that he was able to get involved somewhere, but definitely a little worried. And it didn't help that Kelly Oubre in serious foul trouble as well. He was in that lot. So,
man, how bad was the call?
The tech was
Torian Prince when he just jumped over him. That was ridiculous.
Oubre was just trying to stand up. Yeah.
He wasn't even. The replay they showed in the arena looked like he'd already stopped moving. He wasn't stumbling backwards anymore, and then literally like jumped backwards over him.
That was maybe the loudest the arena got until Beal hit that dagger toward the end. What was the? It sounded really loud on TV. Was it a good atmosphere in there?
Yeah,
probably one. I mean, I've been to. I guess it was probably like my third playoff game. I think I've been all to one game in each of the first rounds the last three times I've been. And that was probably, I guess maybe that Raptors game with the Paul Pierce three.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, it was pretty consistently loud throughout the whole time.
Yeah, that was what impressed me was that when that play where Gortat got on the floor for that rebound. And I was like, damn, this is so loud, like 2 minutes into the game on like a 6-0 run.
When then the one where Wall scored off of that, you mean?
Yeah, where he had that like turnaround fadeaway. Yeah, and that is something you don't see a lot in the Verizon Center where it's loud from start to finish.
Yeah. Late arriving crowd, per usual. Probably didn't fill up till about 7:30 or so, but it was fine. I was in the upper deck. It basically all filled in up there. I was keeping an eye on seats in the lower level if I could like sneak down, but everything kind of filled up. So
it was cheesing me off a little bit on Saturday or on Sunday that people were like, "Where are all the Wizards fans?" And you're like, "It's 1 p.m. on Easter. Where do you think they are?"
And that game filled up too. It was just a same thing. Like everyone got there late.
People are at church.
Did you watch the game on Sunday with your family?
I did. Yeah, it was pretty good. But then my cousin came over with his family, and I was trying to be very polite and talk to them about their lives. But I was like, the Wizards are on.
That is very polite of you, because Playoff Dave doesn't really mess around when it comes to playoffs.
Well, I think really I haven't gotten, I mean, I've gotten like pretty hyped at certain points, but nothing about this Hawks team just really scares me at all. I think all of this is just going to be pretty easy. And with what's going on, I don't know if you guys want to dive into this, but with what's going on up in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking all the way down the road.
Man. Playoff Dave sees the Red Sea parting.
Yeah. And before we get into this, here's a take that I have. There's no such thing as a jinx. People know that, right? that's not a thing that happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that drives me crazy as well.
There's not a curse. There's not a jinx. Like, the teams in DC have been shitty for a long time. Probably because they have shitty people running them. You know what I mean? Probably part of it is that in the Washington Post every day, you're like, oh, our teams are so shitty. Maybe just stop doing that, and you wouldn't have to worry about the curse or the jinx or whatever you're talking about.
The only jinx was Robert Durst.
And Jinx the Pokemon as well.
That's another one.
But a useless one at that. Who had a jinx in their lineup, please?
Probably just like horny little boys, because Jinx was the only Pokemon with boobs.
Good point. Good point.
I'm just speculating.
You should explain that jinx theory to our former co-host, Max Binstock. He hates if I comment on anything going on at any time, and then if the outcome is poor, he was like, You jinxed him! That's how he sounds, and that's why he's not on the podcast anymore.
It's really frustrating to hear people say things like that. Because they'll be like, oh, yeah, of course I know. And it's like, but you really talk about it a lot. Like, you, like you don't know.
Maybe you should start up a class at, like, the local community college. good example, again, for our pal Max. I was in Antigua. I couldn't see any second of any game. And I think I was, like, keeping up with the Caps game on Twitter. People were complaining about Metro because it was going to double or triple overtime or whatever. I said something about the Metro on Twitter, and he lost his mind when the Caps lost. He's like, shut your fucking mouth. This is your fault. Like, because I pointed out the funding disparity in the DMV for the Metro. Is that it?
I mean, if you're that kind of superstitious thinker, why wouldn't it maybe occur to you that instead of like a curse or a jinx, it's just karma for you being a dumb dickhead and talking like that all the time?
Very true. Put that one on your syllabus.
But anyways.
What did we get here?
What were we
Boston,
talking about?
Boston and the Bulls.
Yes.
One of the most second to the Wizards being up 2-0 on the Hawks.
Yes.
It is another really great thing going on.
And I really thought, watching the Raptors and Bucks last night, that we were going to see the Raptors go down, the Celtics go down. My poor heart couldn't take it. But, I mean, I can't imagine this whole thing breaking any better for us, that we get this, busted Hawks team, and then the Bulls, who, I mean, they're kind of tough. And, you know, Wade is Wade, but they can't hit a shot. They're slow. They're old.
Rondo, I can't imagine he's going to care as much or play as well when it's not the Celtics he's facing again.
And he's not guarding a 5'8".
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I was saying this to Gary last night. Like, what other one seed has anyone like universally described as like, they're a bad rebounding team and only one guy can hit shots? Like,
yeah. And people were like, oh, they might lose to the 8 seed. Like, every other time it's been like a historic upset. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when the Warriors beat the Mavericks, it was like, we believe like a whole city in a magical event. And everyone this time was like, oh, that probably will happen.
Yeah. Even like a couple years ago when the Hawks were the one seed, they were a team that I don't think was inspiring a lot of fear.
Yeah.
But that was like, no one thought they'd beat the Cavs. Mm. You know, they still were like,
right,
much better than the 8 seed.
So I think we should get a little dark here. Dave, you texted us this morning, and you said if the Bulls beat the Celtics, you might expire.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know if my heart could take it. It would just be so full. It would burst. But I think you had a good idea. You can just – I pretty much just say the same shit over and over again, so you could just go find some old clips and loop them in.
Yeah.
Nobody would even notice.
Yeah, well, Weekend at Bernie's, you.
We'll do it for a while, and then, like, when the downloads really start to tank, then we'll be like, Dave's dead!
We could even have you stuffed. and trans, like, you know, keep you here in this room most of the time, and then the few times we do it at my apartment, you know, just relocate you.
Or yeah. You could
your parents could come visit if they wanted.
The Zardcast could take a real S-Town style twist, and it could become an exploration of what was wrong with this man and like what happened to him after his death. Just throwing that out there.
Surprise! It was the tobacco. Not as exciting as Mercury, but hey, we do what we can here. So you guys think that the Bulls could actually pull it off here?
Definitely.
Do you think they could sweep them?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, they already got two in Boston.
And the Celtics seemed... I mean, Avery Bradley was even talking about it. He said after the game, he was like, we let them see us arguing with each other. And Rondo was like, oh, they quit. And we can never let them see that. He didn't say, like, we shouldn't have quit. He was like, we can't let them know that we've quit.
It's kind of a weird... I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, sew it up for... by any stretch of the imagination. I know playoff Dave is ready for it, but it's so weird that they're kind of like the zombie Bulls. They've come back to life. They're like a gritty team now. And now like for like all the fighting and like how much like Bulls fans like hate this team, they're probably going to have to keep them together next year, which.
Yeah. I think a lot of, they're going through like a heightened version of our experience with Grunfeld, because they want to get rid of their front office so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys have been around for a really long time too, had a pretty terrible track record, and they got to keep them. And but they don't have any, they have Butler and then Paul Zipser. They don't, it's not like they have a lot of hope there.
Zipster.
Yeah, their trade deadline acquisition doesn't play.
Who's that?
Cameron Payne.
Oh yeah. If they had, why did they get rid of Taj Gibson in the first place?
Him and McDermott for Payne basically was the trade, right? I don't know. Was there more to it than that, or
I don't know. Maybe they got a pick or something, but like, even that seems preposterous, and it seems extra dumb now. Like they'd be so much stronger if they had those guys.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was, like, the thing they were best at. They're obviously still a good rebounding team, but they're much worse without him. They have to play Mirotić.
Poor guy.
That actually gives me a lot of hope. I mean, a lot of confidence. If we play the Bulls, who's going to guard Markieff? Nobody, I don't think.
Yeah. Gortat should be able to have his way with Lopez.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could win every matchup but Butler and Otto.
Even then, you know, you mitigate it with Oubre a little bit. I mean, that's always going to be kind of the soft spot wherever this playoff run goes.
Right.
Yeah, the Bulls don't scare me at all. They're, even with them up to nothing on the Celtics, it's just they have giant people on their team, and the Celtics are tiny pretty much across the board. Or even their big guys are just, they play small.
And they just can't. Nobody can score except right. Thomas, and it's everybody was saying all season that was going to happen, and it's happened, and now they just can't do anything. But yeah, I mean, I would love that. Would be so great to see the Bulls. They just literally can't shoot. You can leave Dwayne Wade out there. You can leave Rondo out there. Even Butler, to an extent, he's not like a good shooter.
He said, I saw a quote like something like. Maybe you put it on our group text, Dave. He just
they asked him about his style of play, and he said, "When I'm open, I shoot the ball. Sometimes when I'm not open, I still shoot the ball."
Words of wisdom.
But yeah, I mean, that couldn't be a better break for us.
We'll keep an eye on that series. I'm sure we'll talk about it again come Saturday. I mentioned Otto and Oubre. You know, the defense by committee and that three slot or whatever, but what you don't want to happen is what kind of happened tonight, is where they both got in foul trouble, and Bogdanović has been terrible. Uh-huh. And he is bad defensively, which, I mean, for a while he was like, he was fine, but like now, like when they really need him, he's been bad. And then, man, he hasn't been able to hit an open shot. He had 6 points tonight, one for five from three. He had a couple like wide open looks too. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he turns around, although he's been kind of slumping going into the playoffs. So I'm concerned. Wizards Twitter was aflame. Worst second half acquisition of all time. Guys, relax.
I think it would be less of a big deal if I feel like he started off so hot and that kind of put us in the habit of, so now the second unit just fucking runs all the time. And if he can't shoot, I think that really, maybe they shouldn't be running, but that's what they're used to so much. So I don't know, but he can't just keep shooting this badly. You don't shoot 80% and then 20%. There's got to be like some middle ground, right?
That seems like that's where he'd end up, kind of just even out.
Let's hope it shakes out. So they head to the Phillips Arena, get to hang out with Sir Foster on Saturday. Still not worried, guys.
No.
It looks like it's coming up aces. I mean, what if they sweep them? That might be a little too far ahead of ourselves, but... I mean, they win at least one in Atlanta. I mean, they can beat them in five for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's like a lock that they sweep them, but I think that's the most likely outcome. What do you guys think?
Most likely? Mm-hmm. I would feel like five is most likely.
Yeah.
I would kind of expect them to get one of the games in Atlanta.
And like a close one too. I just don't see any way that the Wiz get blown out, unless like you get like a terrible, unless like the foul trouble that they had tonight, they get in that kind of situation and it just like totally boils over, and you know, Jason Smith and Markieff Morris, they both foul out, and you know.
Then again, if you know, Wizards get down there for Saturday for Game Three and just run them off the court,
right?
Take all the will out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I feel like a sweep is pretty likely, just because it doesn't seem like they have that much will in them to begin with. Schroeder is really the only guy that looks like he's fighting out there, and John just keeps abusing him.
Love watching John with the ball on a yo-yo string. Mm-hmm. He got him good towards the end of the game, and he hit one of those elbow jumpers, and oh my god,
just nice nice looping spin move into the jumper.
Yep,
that was nice. Of course. Dunked all over him in the first half.
Mm-hmm. God, John's just the best, you guys. And he's going, I love how, I mean, he's always one to get the crowd hyped, but he does it after like every single big play that he does now.
I love it. Yeah, and the team just feeds off him. Everybody's playing so hard, and the crowd's getting into it. And I think if they can go down there to Atlanta, get on top of him early like that, play with energy, I think. Could pretty easily sweep him.
He started incorporating more of this like herky jerky in the lane movements that either he ends up shooting or feeding it inside to Gortat or Morris. It's been so effective. He just kind of gets into the little inside the elbow, you know, hesitates, steps back, and then it works like every time. Or he can just pull it out from there, but. It's crushing teams.
Yeah, it reminds me of what Chris Paul does when he just like hops into the lane and then kind of works back and forth from there. But Wall is so much bigger and has so many more angles open to him from there.
Fantabulous. I can't wait for Jan Mahimny to come back. I wonder if he'll be back for Game 3.
I think they're evaluating him before Game 3. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That would be huge. I mean... His lack of presence has been, I mean, if they have him around tonight, like I don't know if this game is that close.
Yeah.
I mean, I think really their shorthandedness in the front court is what's killing them, and I think Paul Millsap hasn't been great. He's certainly whined his ass off, but you know,
he had a pretty good game tonight. But I think that's right, about right. His ceiling. We had like 27 and 10. He shot well.
14 from the free throw line.
Well, that's the thing. Like, did he play that well, or did he just get to the line a lot?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he would have a better game than that.
Yeah, Yeah, Paul Millsap isn't going to, like, explode for, like, a huge game. He's not going to take over, really. But I think if they were calling this differently, he would all but disappear. Because even in game one, he had, like, 22 points, I think, but Morris right. just beat him up.
All right, gents. We got, like, 15-ish minutes here to kill. You guys want to touch on any of these other series? Do we want to jump into the leftovers?
Look around the league.
Let's look around the league. Okay. Well, we said beforehand, we're not going to relitigate the MVP discussion, but the Rockets are up 2-0 against the Thunder. Westbrook took 43 shots tonight. That's crazy, you guys.
And 18 free throws. So he had, 51 on 43 shots and 18 free throws. I got a little true shooting percentage calculator here. Let's see.
Do you really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like an app. It's just a website. 51.
We didn't see this game because it was going on at the same time and during our trip back, but from the accounts on Twitter, it sounds like he just was awesome through three quarters and then pissed the game away in the fourth.
I mean, that'll probably happen. Even Westbrook is going to get tired if he's taking 43 shots a game. If they're keying on him. I mean, why would Steven Adams take three shots all game? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and like you said, couldn't he dump some of these shots off to him? Like,
right.
Instead of flying in the lane and missing, which I'm sure he did, you know, half a million times. It's fine, but, you know, it doesn't seem like they're going to make it out of the first round. You got the Bucks and Raptors all knotted at ones. It looked like the Bucks were going to take that game, but Kyle Lowry, finally.
Yeah.
It took him a game and three quarters to wake up, but he did it.
That was a real bummer. Yeah. I wish he would have stayed asleep.
The Bucks, they've been pretty fun to watch. Did either of you seen the new website from Ben Falk, cleaninttheglass.com?
Yes, that article about their defense.
Yeah. Really interesting.
It was like the clearest I've ever, because a lot of times you can tell that a sports writer is trying to explain that stuff to you.
Right.
And they'll even show videos, and I still don't really get it. But I think that was like the clearest.
I think his ability on that site to just make the article as long as he wants helped with that. Because like Zach Lowe tries to do that, those kind of explanations, but if he's on ESPN, he can't put in like a 5,000 word thing on like one specific topic, and that's right. What he did. It was a one really long article that did explain it really well. It was interesting. And then when I watched that game last night,
you could see it,
right? Yeah. And which made it a lot of fun. So cleaningglass.com.
And he was like a former executive.
He worked in the analytics department and front office for the Blazers and the Sixers.
See. I think maybe he has experience. So like Zach Lowe was talking to basketball people all the time, but maybe this guy spent all of his time trying to explain to like non-basketball people what's going on, like what he's seeing, like the president or like front office people instead. Right. So he has that kind of. But yeah, that was really good.
You'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you should. The other ones in there are like shorter and also good reads too. He did the thing about just like playoff prep in general and how it like ramps up versus, you know, regular season. And it's been interesting reads.
What is his name?
I think it's Ben Falk.
We'll have to get him on the pod.
Give it a shot. Some other series. Looks like the Spurs are going to run away against the Grizz. The Grizz just can't score points.
Those games were bloodbaths.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Fizdale and his press conference?
Take that for data. I actually haven't even watched it. I've like every time I've been reading or seeing anything about it, I've been at work where I can read a lot of stuff, but I can't like pop headphones on.
Right.
So I haven't actually been able to watch it.
It's really good.
He, half, like, at the end of his tirade, I think he realizes that he's going to get fined for, I think he was, like, slamming the refs, and you could just, like, hear it in his voice, like, he's like, oh, fuck. Like, I just went off, but.
Also, at the end of it, it's very funny. I think it's a guy that, like, a PR guy for the Grizzlies. So, when Fizdale finishes, you can hear him in the back of the room, like,
all right. Thanks, everybody.
Love that. So that's a disaster for the Grizz. Poor guys. Cavs Pacers. These games are like close, but not close. And my favorite part is Paul George just throwing his teammates under the bus in all these press conferences. Like, what is he doing?
Yeah. I watched both those games, and they were like the same game.
Yeah.
Cavs big lead, Pacers come back. Cavs make a bigger lead, Pacers come back, Cavs hold on, they win. And LeBron played great in both. Second one, Irving and Love both also did. Pacers, it's just George.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a little help from Stevenson.
Is his contract up this year or next year?
Paul George?
Yeah.
He's got one more year.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's the only one that can make a play. But are you guys encouraged by the Cavs still giving up 110 points a night to the Pacers?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely still don't look how I would have expected them to look in the playoffs.
And Tyronn Lue even said before game one, you'll see the defense we've been talking about, essentially saying they were going to flip the switch, and still haven't found it.
Still waiting, Mr. Lue. Well, I can see them playing two more games exactly like this and
yeah,
just sweeping them. So,
and I think that's how I feel like LeBron plays a lot of playoff series. Like, I think that was how it was against the Pistons in the first round last year. There were a couple like really, really close games, but they still swept them.
Yeah, his LeBron-led teams going back the last 10 years have 4 losses in the first round.
Oof. It's craziness.
2 of them to the Wizards, though. The first year of that 10-year stretch. And then he hasn't lost more than a game in the first round since then.
You know who else has? You know who's actually never lost more than a game in the first round? Is
Markieff Morris?
Is John Wall and Bradley Beal and Marcin Gortat?
Ooh, I like it.
So just, you know, 10 more seasons of this, couple rings.
it's all up for grabs. Jazz Clips, 1-1. Jazz kind of won, like, improperly the other night. Did Shelvin Mack get hurt last night?
I don't know. I've had a really hard time watching that series.
I'm not interested. I thought I'd be interested beforehand, but I'm out. I'm with you.
I watched a decent amount of last night's, but I was otherwise distracted kind of while I was going on, so I was only half paying attention.
Then you got Warriors, Trailblazers. Warriors are going to win this. Dame had, see if I can pull the box score quickly, but he scored a bunch the other night.
And still, McCollum did. Yeah, I feel like that is about as tough a shot as the Blazers can give him, and
yeah,
it still wasn't really close to enough. So,
and you can tell that, I mean, you know, the series is lopsided when a team is holding out the second best player in the league just like as a precaution.
Right.
Like,
is he definitely sitting tonight?
Yeah, I think. I don't know about
that. I know he was questionable.
Definitely.
That probably started. It did start. Let's check.
I thought they were, it was just assumed that he would. But everyone was like, why even bother?
Yeah, McCollum scored 41 and Lillard scored 34 in that game on Sunday. Let me pull up the box score tonight, see what is going on.
Yeah, no Durant. And
no Livingston, right?
No Durant, no Livingston. Warriors are up 4 with 4 left in the first half.
What was the deal with Durant? He scored 32 on Sunday. What's wrong with him?
He just like pulled his calf or something.
Oh, okay.
But in that first game, that was maybe the best Draymond performance I've ever seen, maybe. Maybe game 7 of the finals last year. But he's just incredible. That dunk where he met, I don't remember who at the rim, but he got so high. And
the like, block, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vonley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he just.
That was when he had been out at the wing.
Like, yeah.
He picked up the ball. They passed it behind him, and he sprinted back and blocked a dunk at the rim.
And then he just stood there and like had a seizure while the team while the team ran a fast break. He was just like screaming as loud as he could and like freaking out. But
that's what a Draymond does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be fun to play them in the finals.
What's funny?
Nothing. The cadence in Gary's voice. Let's real quick, the 538 playoff odds.
Oh yeah, how are those looking?
Let's see here. Let's go to the Sprott section.
It's that thing, yeah.
I've enjoyed checking these because of how often they've said really nice things about the Wizards, but after they now have the Bulls ahead of the Cavs.
Yeah.
Kind of completely disregarded them at this point.
Wiz with a 5% chance to win the title. That's third best in the league. 30% chance to get the finals. Almost a 50%, 49% chance to get to the conference finals. And they got a 92% shot of advancing to the second round.
You know what? I changed my mind. All that sounds right.
All right. What do you guys think of leftovers? Did we all watch?
Yeah, do you think 10 minutes is enough time to get into leftovers? I don't know what you guys think about that.
Let's just hit on it.
Okay.
Let's hit on it, and then maybe on Saturday we can go full-fledged Saul, Fargo, and then maybe circle back to the leftovers.
All right.
We've got 11 minutes.
11 minutes for the pop, pop. Pop culture detour.
Yes. So Leftovers is back.
Woo!
Sneaky, good series that I think only now people are, like, hip to.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's back for the third offering, and there's not, like, another big HBO stalwart going on as well. Mm-hmm. So
this will be spoiler-rich discussion, by the way.
For sure. Pretty, well, it starts off with another weird, like,
yes,
flashback,
old timey scene. In season two, it was like the cave woman dying on the river.
Mm-hmm.
This time, it's this woman who thinks she's like found God. Essentially, she's talked to God.
She's in like a
Puritan
cult.
Yeah, like a. That was hard to even tell when it was from because I couldn't tell if it like was legitimately old timey or if they were like a cult that kind of secluded themselves.
Interesting.
Then at the end of the episode, it seems like they're kind of showing whatever that specific culty religion is again, and that's clearly modern day. So then it made me think that was at least decently old.
Wait, I don't understand what you mean.
At the end of the episode.
The part with old Nora?
With old Nora.
Okay.
It looks like it's the same sort of kind of religion. They're getting the messages from the birds. She's bringing them all, collecting them all together, and then brings them to that church house.
Oh, I see.
That was weird. Didn't see that coming there. The old Nora.
Yeah.
Circling back up to the religion at the beginning of the show. But it kind of, I mean, it basically, you know, the episode's called Book of Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's established, like, I mean, we knew this before, but now everyone's like, Kevin doesn't die, everyone. Like, he's a magical boy.
What's your interpretation of him choking himself out every morning in the plastic bag? Do you think that is... So I think either it's like a ritual that he does in the same way that, like, Nora would hire somebody to shoot her in season one, or maybe he's trying to kill himself and he's like, I really can't die, and like seeing if he can or not.
Might be a little bit of that. I think there could be maybe there's like some weird like other plane that he goes to like when he dies. Like that's how with like the Patty connection. Maybe he misses Patty. Maybe that's how he finds her again. Or maybe it's like his way of like getting off, you know. Like, oh man, I'm gonna get my rocks off before I go ride my horse around for the day. I thought it was super cool that the Guilty Remnant were just vaporized by a missile. Didn't see that coming, but yeah, I dug
me
it.
Neither.
And that there's like an official cover up and everyone's just like, we just don't talk about that anymore. We just killed all those freaks.
Even though there's still a crater.
Right, they haven't done anything about the crater.
Oh, that was a gas leak. You don't remember the gas leak?
So we'll never really, I mean, I could see Liv Tyler's character showing up again, but
yeah,
she's bizarre, but I felt like her character would have had more closure this season. Because she was like the leader and whatnot, but maybe not.
I love that they just threw in a couple like domestic developments without any. So the next door neighbor is now married to Kevin, or like with Kevin's ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby is gone.
Right.
What happened to the baby?
That I think will be, that'll definitely be fleshed out.
Oh, and the neighbor's wife is gone.
Right. The neighbor's wife being gone and the neighbor being with Judge Amy,
mm-hmm.
I think that they might just let be like a, this happened in the three years. But the baby, they've gotta give us something on that.
Yeah.
Well, I think they'll get into the relationship also because now, is his name John? Neighbor?
I think so.
Now he's running that. Palm reading thing
as a straight up scam now.
With her reading him like lines. So, just like really, and I have so much faith in the leftovers at this point where you're just like, oh, well, I'm sure I'll figure that out later. They trust you to like understand what's happening even without any like knowledge of why it's like that.
And then I guess other than like the old Nora thing at the very end, but the big reveal was that Matthew, he's gotten a foothold in the community. He's preaching Jesus, and it turns out he wants a new Testament, and he's basing it around Kevin not dying. And I guess I didn't really think about the fact that all those people had seen him die before, like hey, remember that time I shot you? Or remember the time you just like came up out of the ground after we buried you, like,
right. Or when he went to kill himself and the lake just drained.
Mm-hmm. He does the bit where he jumps in while they think it's toxic, and he just hops in. I liked one of those the guilty remembrant people just took a rock to the dome. Yeah. That guy was had to be dead.
And the dude who threw that rock was one of the church people. Come on, man.
And
there's like chapters in the Bible about throwing stones.
So good first run for the leftovers. I'm psyched. Do we know if there's 10 episodes, 12 episodes?
I think it's only 8.
Only 8. Oh man.
I could 100% be making that up, but I feel like I heard that somewhere.
You know what? We'll go with 8.
You know what? And if there's 2 more after that, it's just leftovers.
Oh, I think that's a perfect way to shut it down here, boys. We'll come back after game 3. We'll do that Saturday evening, so it'll be out Saturday night, Sunday morning for your listening pleasure, and we'll talk Fargo and Better Call Saul and a continuing series called The Whitest TV Shows on Television. I know that was redundant, but you get it. All right, so we'll be back then. If you're listening on Dash for the first time, thank you so much for joining us. AlmightyBaller.com is where you can find the podcast, and a lot of times we do run over the hour mark. It's just getting kind of late tonight, and we ran out of things to talk about. So that's normally where it does run over. You can find us at Zardcast on Twitter as well. Subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Google Play, all that fun stuff too, if you want the show as soon as it drops. So for my co-hosts, Dave, Gary, I'm CT. That was Zardcast. Hey.